Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you're listening to the with your host, Venger Satanis, and the Beast.
Hey, thanks for tuning into the Ooze. This is T.C. Downing, and my co-host Venger's on the line here. Venger, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing good, as always. It's a very nice day for once here in Wisconsin. It's probably in the early 60s, low 60s. And that's very unusual for, you know, even early mid-November. So I went for a little run today, and it's just gorgeous. I mean, it's hard to believe that this is Wisconsin, because Wisconsin is notoriously shitty and cold getting into fall. But, yeah, this is a great day. So I'm excited and happy. And, yeah, tell me about your dream. I wanted to start with that because you didn't wake me up, but I had woken up like a couple minutes beforehand, and then you texted me and said, "Hey, you know, call me ASAP." So of course I was just like, "Oh crap, what's going on?" So I called you, and then you were talking about some other stuff, but the most important thing was this dream you had, and it seemed very powerful and cool. So if you could tell us about that, that would be wonderful.
Oh, I certainly can. The dream is set in a heavy rocky area where I'm guessing there is water nearby, because it looked like something you might have seen on Planet of the Apes or maybe one of these sci-fi movies. In the dream, there is a podium made of stone. And behind that podium was standing you. You were actually just looking very intensely down at this book. And just about a step behind you, to the left-hand side of you, was me. And as you were standing there staring intently at this book, I was out loud saying the words to this ritual, and as I was saying them, the ground was shaking, and tentacles were freeing themselves from the ground and just kind of waving around. And then I looked down at the book that you were staring at, and I saw what looked to be like geometric angles all over the page of them, and it was actually noted as to what each degree was. The degrees were actually familiar combinations of numbers. Like, for instance, 357, 357 degrees was one of them. Another one that I noted was 143, and then 77.7, 33.3, 66.6, and so forth and so on. And that actually, that is when I actually I woke up strangely at about 6 o'clock this morning. Which, for anybody that knows me, knows that's roughly about an hour, hour and a half before I'm usually out of bed on Saturdays. Right. So, leading into that, actually, as I was sitting down outside to, smoke a cigarette, check my email, get a little bit of caffeine in my body, and right as I went to sign into my email, and a brand new email came across. Apparently, over this past week, since I gave the assignment for people to do rituals, we've actually had several hundred replies, email-wise, of rituals that people have done.
That's right. We gave you homework, bitches.
Yes, we gave you homework. And not only did we give it to you, but you returned it. That's better than I think most schools can say. So, but this particular one is the one that came across just after this dream. So I felt that it was important that we touch on this. The guy's name, I believe, is Jeroen. It's J-E-R-O-E-N. I believe it's Jeroen. But what Jeroen basically did was, he said he really enjoyed the show and that he did his homework. And what he did as his ritual was he had an invocation of a self-made demon. And that demon's purpose was solely to remind himself that there was a lot of work to do if he wanted to awaken. And then he goes on to explain that he's the type of person that can really start into something, but very shortly after, he's just not into it anymore. He's lost the drive to do it. So he created this entity with the idea in mind that this would continuously remind him that there is work to be done. And what was really cool about that is he gave a category which he called placebo magic, but it's a blessing, is what the actual ritual he performed was. His results were that it did work, and that he's going to continue to reaffirm this by performing this ritual repetitively. And then he actually gave a request that we give you guys some more stuff to get off your ass and just do. So, Jeroen, we want to thank you for your reply to us and everybody else who actually sent me an email earlier this week. You guys all got emails back from me. But we're going to honor his request, right, Venger, and start giving homework every show?
At least every other show. Maybe not every single show, but pretty much everything we talk about from week to week, I think you can implement in your life in some way. I would say if I had to give someone some advice on how to either better themselves or become a better magician or just a superior human being to what you already are, just to improve your life in general, that advice would be to do one small thing every day, like make one small incremental positive change in your life or something that you find fulfilling or inspiring or, an accomplishment. Try to do one small thing of that every single day. And it doesn't seem like much, but before you know it, it just compounds and increases, and you just can't measure not only the awesomeness of what you're doing, but the effect it has on your life. If you look at, I was just walking around because, again, it was a very nice day yesterday as well in Wisconsin, which is rare, as I said. I was enjoying the day. I was taking a little walk, a little break from the grind at the office, and I went down to one of the lakes that we have in Madison. And it was very cool and very calm. I was looking at the water, and then I was looking at the water as it was sort of sitting there by the concrete shore. And I was thinking about water erosion and the power of water, how, life-giving and destructive and changeable and malleable it is. And, water over time can like change or destroy or create almost anything. And I think that's a good metaphor for the Cthulhu cult and what we try to do, the whole left-hand path, that's be like the water, the black water or the void, and just do a little bit at a time, and eventually, over the long haul, you will make huge changes. And, 3 years from then, you won't be able to recognize yourself because you'll be so different. You'll be so changed, and you'll make so much progress. But it always starts with doing one small thing every day. So, again, that would be my advice. Not to give advice to anyone about, you know, how to make their life better. That would be it.
One thing a day.
Yes.
I think that holds very true. I think that you're going to add momentum that way.
Yeah, oh, yeah, totally. I mean, yeah, you if you can accomplish just like, you know, five things, I mean, even if you can't do it every day, if you can do like five things in a week, that's just going to lead to more energy and more drive, more positive expectations. You know, it's just going to put you on the path to accomplishing more shit that you need to do and that you want to do, and that's going to make your life better. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, get off your ass and do stuff. Don't just do stuff for us or do it because we say it's good. But do it for yourself, because this is your only life. And if you fuck this up, then, I mean, why bother going on?
Right, absolutely. Matter of fact, yesterday you and I were having a conversation, and I stated that if people don't really care to change their reality, that I'm going to change all reality so that you and I benefit from their suffering instead of somebody else.
Right. Yeah, people don't want to change their reality, then we will change their reality for them.
Right. Absolutely.
And we'll have it, yeah, benefit us, you know. We'll design reality, and we'll you know, quantum configure stuff so everything rolls uphill towards us, and we can achieve even greater heights.
Now, I actually, I did my homework this week.
You did. I know you did. You did a fantastic job, and I did my homework in a way by helping you fully realize, in a visual sense, your homework. So, yeah,
absolutely.
Talk about that.
I had on Halloween night. On Halloween night, I did this ritual, and during the period of doing it, it actually came into my mind that I should record this, and so I did just that. And so yesterday, I spent about 5 hours putting together this little audio clip, which Venger then was kind enough to add a little bit of a slideshow and then some extra material at the end to, you know, help it realize its full potential. But I'd like to, if you don't mind, Benj, I'd like to play it for our listeners.
I would like nothing better than to hear it right now.
Okay, this is a Baleful Light.
From the nighted, aimless eye of Azathoth, to the enigmatic and hungry breath of Yog-Sothoth, I call upon the great old ones. Steal yourselves from that black abyss wherein you purposefully wait. Eosh! Eosh! Igrod Stakin! Eosh! Doubt, indecision, ignorance, infighting, and apathy will plague the house of mine enemy. What they have built shall be undone. Momentarily, their insight into the true nature of the universe will reveal the abhorrent position in which they find themselves. The seeds they have sown will grow in darkness, twisting and withering like a sleeping god's tentacles. Zepkai, Iaga, Shandak, Zepkai, Zepkai. In the beginning, we were slime from the stars. The elder gods gave us form. We are the strong, the wise, and the courageous, to choose monstrous loathsome evil over all mankind. That is the power of our insane beliefs. Pleasure is ours to take as we will. The cult of Cthulhu indulges itself as it mindfully accepts this life's limitations. They who are friendly to us shall understand our ways. All may benefit when the Horned One approacheth. The Ancient Ones are evolution. Their influence knows no end. This is my intent, and I demand to be heard. O servant master of the ancient things, awaken, hybrid children of Cthulhu, Awaken and be touched by thy tentacle. Awaken and do thy great work. In the violent octopoid shape, eldritch green and seething, suggests the tower of devils ululating, thirsting, slaying, and yammering. Dread Cthulhu begins to awaken. I leave you refreshed. The color of your embryonic shadow grants me foul nourishment. Sacrificial blood is the water of life. A million tributes to Satan. Narrow off the depth. Shabnigrop. Hastura. Jisagala. Jisah. And Satanus. Eos. Eos. Igrom Stakin. Eos. Zetkai. Iaga. Shan Hazak. Zetkai. Zetkai. Ia. Ia. Brannath. Hez. Yelska. Hesh. Marik. Anah. Hail the formless blackness. Son it will by my head.
And that, folks, is my homework.
Yeah, that was some powerful stuff. And like I said, yeah, Beast Zeno gave me that last night, and then this morning I turned it into a video. I uploaded it, the audio in, and then I put several images, probably about 20-25. From my personal collection. It's everything from artwork that Beast has done to pictures of myself, to pictures of girls, some half naked, some wearing the Cthulhu pendant, a couple paintings of mine, just a lot of stuff. And the video turned out really well. It's called The Baleful Rites. Or you could just find it. Well, you could, now it's on our channel, our Blog Talk Radio page for the Ooze. And it's also on my YouTube channel, High Priest Satanus. So you can find it there. But yeah, it's great. So check it out. We'll be posting it everywhere, like MySpace and all those places. So that's cool.
Absolutely. The video definitely completes the act itself, man, and I couldn't be more pleased. It's actually kind of a prelude to a project that I will begin to endeavor in a little later on when we create a a half hour, 45 minute long CD of kind of a psychodrama of these rituals that are they're Cthulhu cult specific.
Yeah. Yeah, CD, video or DVD, we're thinking about that too. Maybe, both. I don't know. But, yeah, we've talked about that project, and that's pretty exciting. We hope other people will not only support us and encourage us, but maybe help us or add to our vision and allow us to use other people's creative juices to make this, make this happen.
Right.
It's called Touched by the Tentacle, right? That's
right. Touched by the Tentacle is going to be.
You came up with that name, and I fell in love with it the moment I heard it. I was just like, oh my god, Touched by the Tentacle. That's fucking amazing.
It's good stuff, man. I would call that divine inspiration, but it was just inspiration.
Well, you never know where the divine is going to come in.
Right.
So, should we give people the number to call in?
We certainly should.
To get this left-hand path, right-hand bullshit discussion underway.
It's 347-989-1371. We're supposed to have a gentleman call in today and actually is going to present the pros and cons of the right-hand path versus the left-hand path. So far, we're 20 minutes into the show and he's a no-show, so that's disappointing.
but not totally unexpected either.
No, actually completely expected on my part.
Right. I mean, isn't that just part of the right-hand path? It's just like, oh, yeah, pass the buck. And,
absolutely.
Let someone else take charge, do shit for you. I mean, even if, because I know we had that other show about BDSM, like the whole bondage, submission, dominant, slave, the whole bit. Yeah, I was thinking about it. Even if someone is really into submission and serving and slavery and things like that, I think they would still have to appreciate the left-hand path, because the other side of that is mastery and being dominant. And, you know, they have to, you know, submissive or slave, to feel totally complete, I think they have to have that dominant force or that master in their life.
Sure.
And the right-hand path is just kind of, well, it's a weak, washed out, watered down equality all the way across the board, except for some, you know, greater force that just kind of, I don't know, made us all, and now we're all submissive to that. So it's an intangible, you know, Godhead or demiurge kind of force that, I don't know, it really doesn't speak to anyone, and it really just magnifies, you know, living in fear and apathy and just doing what you're told and all that stuff. So I think even someone that likes serving and likes being a slave or being submissive, I think they have to appreciate or respect the left-hand path, because their other half, you know, the master dominant one, is definitely going to veer towards the left-hand path. And, you know, you got to have both. You got to have the balance. It's not equality. It's, you know, it's one or the other. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that? What do you think about equality versus just that aspect, the equality versus, or egalitarianism versus a hierarchy or, you know, a division of, you know, rank or ability or privilege, et cetera?
Well, all right. And from my mindset, I look at it as you have to have both ends, no matter what, to continue balance. However, if it's an individual's choice as to which end, you would think that one would appreciate the other. And, you know, if you're really truly submissive, you have to have a God that tells you that you can't eat pork and that you have to, you know, get on your knees and face the clown 5 times a day and pray to it. If you're all fine and dandy with that, that's great, but you have to understand that there are individuals like myself and Venger that you know, we don't want to bother anybody
right.
or anything. And beyond that, we're actually we're willing to take the responsibility. We're willing to take the responsibility for our own choices and our own actions. And in doing that, you're, you know, naturally becoming dominant.
Yeah.
You know, when you can't look around and say, well, so-and-so did it, so I thought it would be cool, you know, you come to the reality that even if they did it and you thought it was cool, ultimately you're the, you know, you're the asshole who chose to do it.
Yeah.
Or didn't choose to do it. I mean, overall, really, this topic sort of bores me. I was kind of hoping that our caller would...
Well, actually, and I quite agree. It's, to a certain extent, I'm tired of going over it myself because I, you know, it seems like I go over it every day in a different form. However, I just received... actually, I got it a while ago, but I just checked my private messages on the Cult Cthulhu forum right now. And he actually responded. This is what he says. Says, okay, I understand that the ooze is 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Unfortunately, I must reluctantly withdraw Jasmine, my wife, is very upset as she is convinced that this is not going to be a debate with the two positions of left-hand path is superior versus left-hand path and right-hand path are both valid systems of attainment. She feels we are both spoiling for a fight and it will inevitably descend into chartreuse madness. That's okay, that's something I would have said. She feels we are both exhibiting symptoms of the chaos in our lives and does not wish our enjoyment of the forum to be compromised by two lummoxes, you and me, duking it out on the radio. That's it. So,
my
I can understand, you know, him being reluctant or, you know, but for anyone that knows me, I'm not, like, that much of a hothead or an asshole. Or whatever, you know, I'm not going to, I don't know. Yeah, debating something and discussing it and arguing it is one thing, but, you know, just because someone holds a different viewpoint and is outspoken about it, you know, it doesn't mean I'm going to hate that person or I'm going to, you know, kick them off the forum or, you know, ban them or be like, oh, fuck you, dickhead, you know, something like that. That's not my style. It's not how I roll. I appreciate when someone can constructively, you know, put together an argument that's counter to what I believe. You know, I may not change my mind, but on the other hand, I might, or I might, there might be some compromise that could be reached. So it's a little disappointing that we're not going to be able to talk to him today.
Right. Let me actually, I want to put a little bit in on this myself, Benjur. My intent with the whole suggestion that I made about this was not to even actually have a debate, but a discussion. And in that fact, I was going to allow this gentleman who stated that he could argue both the pro and the con of the left-hand path and the right-hand path. I was going to allow him, you know, the freedom to express his thoughts on the subject entirely, and then from there kind of analyze it and take a look at it and throw questions where there should be questions and give answers where questions were given.
Right, right.
So I think there was a misunderstanding. We weren't looking for actually having a aggressive debate, but rather we were looking to kind of see if you had something to say that we hadn't thought about.
Right.
I myself have walked the left-hand path for probably about 18 years now. I don't know about you, Venger, but I've crossed this bridge so many times.
It's almost boring to us now, I think. LaVey said that Satanists are born, not made. And I think, you know, that goes right hand in hand with the left-hand path. You just kind of, I guess, are born that way, or you're not. And, I was definitely born of the left-hand path. And I was anti-authoritarian and questioning things and going my own way from a small child, you know. So it's hard for me to understand another person's perspective that the right-hand path is equally as valid in whatever you want to call it, enlightenment or self-actualization or the great work or whatever. I just naturally think that the right-hand path is weaker and it's a slippery slope to, you know, slavery, I guess, spiritual slavery, which is possibly the worst form of slavery. But I would love to hear people's opinion on why I may be wrong or why they may be right in that the right-hand path is, you know, just as valid or beneficial to someone.
Right. I'm wondering if this guy that's in the chat room is asking about miking in is actually our guest caller who was supposed to have arrived. He's asking about miking in. If that doesn't work, if you can't click talk and actually talk to us, then you might very well have to call in. I've never really been sure as to exactly how that part of this works. But we'd be happy to hear from you. So please, give us a call. On a little bit of a side note, while we're waiting to see what else is going on, let's touch back here to the fourth way.
Okay.
On the forum, a gentleman, and this is actually the guy who sent us the email I read this morning, he posed the question of what exactly do you mean with the ego in the sense of awakening? And then he posts his wiki understanding, and then he asks if it means how someone thinks about themselves.
Okay.
I'll read the whole thing because maybe that doesn't sound like it makes sense. He says, I am getting the book almost, but I would like to ask this question. What do you mean with ego in the sense of awakening? I think I have misunderstood this part. Wiki says self-esteem is a term used in psychology to reflect a person's overall evaluation or appraisal of his or her own worth. Hope you can help me a bit with this because my understanding of it isn't good. So far, I think it means how someone thinks about himself. Hope you can help.
Okay. Yeah, I think I know what that person's saying, although the question is slightly convoluted. Self-esteem is basically how you feel about yourself. Ego, well, there's a few different definitions, and I think there's a lot more that goes into ego. It's not only what you think about yourself, but it's, I don't know, it's like a greater mask, I think, that people wear. And like all masks, occasionally it can be used for the good, but a lot of the times it just gets in the way of real change and real spiritual developments and achieving higher consciousness. And so the ego can get in the way. In the book that Beast and I were talking about a while ago, The Power of Now, it talks about ego in more of a negative light as this sort of useless chatter that goes on in the mind, and everything from self-doubt to negativity to, just being distracted by this, that, and the other thing, and identification. You know, I always like to go back to the little quote from Fight Club, that you are not your fucking khakis. That's the kind of identification we mean in the fourth way, where, you are separate than all the stuff that is going on in your life. And if you take all the stuff that's going on in your life as who you are, then you're just missing the point, and you're missing yourself. You're living vicariously through your khakis or your job or, your name brand t-shirt, and you're not being you, and that's the whole point. So I would say take the ego with a grain of salt. A healthy ego is, it's something that a person needs, but at the same time you have to learn how to back away from it, take off the mask every once in a while, and, live your life free of all that bullshit. I don't know. What do you think, Beast?
In terms of the ego and awakening, I think I could look at this from a few different ways. I think it's necessary to have enough confidence and enough belief in yourself and in your own personal abilities to actually begin to reach in and grab that that higher consciousness that's in you and use it. You have to take away the skepticism. You have to take away your doubt. And in that sense, you need a good, healthy ego to be able to say, I am going to transcend past this state that I'm in right now.
Right.
And so that's my take, my view on it. That's, of course, a madman's interpretation, but
right. It is complicated. I think there's no one perfect answer. It's both. You know, you gotta like you said, have the ego and use it, but at the same time, you gotta know how to let go occasionally, and not be strangled by it. Because the ego can be a strength, but taken to an extreme, ego can be a weakness too. Just like pride, or well, really anything. I mean, anything can be taken too far. So
absolutely, I
moderation in all things.
Isn't that the trick? Indulgence in moderation.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, occasionally, you know, extremism and obsession can come in handy, but not over prolonged periods. You always got to take a breather. You always got to, you know, rest and recharge your batteries. Otherwise, you burn out or you go too far or you stop being able to see the dangers or the things you should be watching out for.
Absolutely. Right quick, Benger, I'd like to throw the number out there again because there's 23 minutes left in this show, and we'd really like to have you guys, you know, give us a jingle and just give us, you know, your thoughts, whether it's on the left-hand path versus the right-hand path, or you'd like to discuss the fourth way. You know, let's hear from you guys. It's 347-989-1371.
Yeah. Also, someone mentioned, I think it was Jason Sorrell, an artist that we had on, I think, the second or third show, and he was really great. We're going to have him on again sometime soon, and he's a great artist, and, you know, left-hand path guru, I guess. But he was saying something that maybe we should change our time slot because, you know, this may not be the best time for live listeners to catch it and to call in. Sure, everyone can download the archived episodes and listen to it later, but we would love a lot of participation as the show is rolling. So if you have an opinion on should we do it maybe later on Saturday, like Saturday night, you know, that's a possibility. I mean,
yep. Again, all commentary, all suggestions, any responses to our homework can go to the ooze at fearthebeast.com. Shoot us an email. Benger and I are in contact on a daily basis, so we'll certainly discuss and respond appropriately.
Right. Yeah, if a ton of people are like, yeah, I would love to listen to the show as it's coming out, but, you know, I just can't at that time slot, then, you know, who knows? Maybe we'll do it Saturday night. Maybe, I don't know, maybe we'll do it a different day or a different night or something like that, you know.
Right.
If people are happy with what it is, then we're happy to do it at this time because, you know, it's not too early. It doesn't screw up, like, the whole afternoon or night. You know, if you're going to a party or something. So.
Right. I think the one thing that hang on, I got to reply to the chat room.
Okay.
You're going to need a microphone to click to talk. You're going to have to plug a microphone into the computer, and that's what you would talk into. Now, what Jason did finally say was, you know what, you guys just keep doing what you're doing, and if all these people are catching it in an archive, at least they're catching it.
Yeah.
You know, to be honest with you, the way that he came across to me was that he felt that we have no problem filling up this hour, and, you know, he's right. We really don't.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be nice to have some other people on here. It'd be nice to have some communication with other people, but if the communication comes after the show, well, that's just as good to us.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's just as valid to hear people's opinions, you know, even a week later, if they've heard the show. So that's cool, too.
Absolutely. While I'm thinking about this, there was, we've got about 20 minutes left in this show. I don't know if this Pan's Hoof is going to be able to actually get into us or not. And he says for some reason or another he's getting a busy signal on this channel when he's calling it. So maybe you're not dialing the right number again, man. It's 347-989-1371. We'd like to get you on here. Still 20 minutes, well, roughly 20 minutes left in the show. We're actually getting ready to hit into our favorite spot, which is a spot where we pretty much talk about whatever the hell we want.
Yep. The undiluted truth.
Yes, it is. It is. Some great things have happened this week, man, and I'm really pleased about all that.
Yeah, like what?
For instance, Jason Sorrell, who you mentioned earlier, paid me this gargantuan compliment right on the front page of his website, the main page. Not only in the aspect of my artwork, but in the aspect of the show. And I guess this is just my way of kind of returning, the favor here to say, Jay, I really appreciate that. When one artist, need more time in the show for like another 20 minutes. Sorry, I'm trying to read the chat room too. Pan's Hoof, at any point in time, you can call in, man. It doesn't matter if we're yammering or talking. Doesn't matter if we're in the dead heat of the subject. We will stop. We will answer the phone. We will talk to you. Pertinent or not.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, to get back to what I was saying, so that was the first, the first part of my whole deal was, Jason Sorrell, an artist that honestly I've kind of idolized over the years. Paying my artwork a huge compliment, and then to top it off, paying my efforts on this a huge compliment. And then the next thing was you bestowing me with my title.
Yeah.
Now,
that was long overdue. We had talked about you sort of entering the Emerald Fold, as it were, and joining the Cthulhu cult officially. But we didn't really our partnership and our working and personal relationship sort of goes deeper than titles and memberships and official things and little names on forums and stuff like that. But at the same time, I definitely want to recognize and show my appreciation for hard work and good work and people that are motivated and do things and that help me out and that allow me to be inspired and help other people as well. And that's what you've done. And I changed your little, I don't know what it is, status or name or whatever on the forum. And emailed you and said that, you should, I want you to, be referred to or known as a wizard of the terrible darkness. And that's like the middle, the middle area, the middle management, if you will, of the Cult of Cthulhu. Where it starts out with, someone's just kind of curious about it and vaguely interested. That would be a messenger of the outer angles. And then a herald of the old gods. And then that's kind of, the first step when you're just become like an active member. And then the wizard of terrible darkness, where you're really entrenched in the stuff and you're making headway and it's more of a leadership position. And then eventually there's going to be some people that are in the priest of Relay, And then there's me at the top, the high priest, and it's lonely up here. And I would love for more people to be closer to where I'm at, because
we actually have a caller coming in right now, man. So let's go ahead and take that. Hey, how you doing, caller?
Hello, how's it going? How you guys doing?
Oh, we're excellent.
Well, I tried to call in before. I didn't get through, so I just had kind of a quick question to Venture.
Yeah.
He was talking about authoritarianism, how, like, the left-hand path isn't, like, authoritarian, but I've always kind of viewed the left-hand path as being, like, you know, more authoritative than non-authoritative. So,
I
kind of just thoughts on that, basically.
Okay. No, that's a very good question.
How you guys doing?
When I call myself anti-authoritarian, basically, I chafe at the idea of other people having authority over myself. And
yeah.
I think a lot of people that feel like they're naturally dominant or natural leaders or natural, you know, Satanists or left-hand path or anti-authoritarian, I think there's a lot of people that don't like, you know, the idea of this boss authority, like looking over their shoulder and kind of micromanaging them, and, you know, they've got to do a good job because this other person, like, wants them to, and you feel beholden to this, you know, person or force or whatever.
Okay.
That, you know, that bothers a lot of people. But at the same time, I think there is a need for authority, and definitely I set myself up as an authority. So if I was completely against the idea of authority,
that would make
me a hypocrite. So, as selfish as it is, I think it's cool to have authority as long as I'm one of the people on top, and I welcome other people to feel the same way and to put themselves in charge. You know, that goes back to the quote, better to reign in hell than serve in heaven. And
yeah,
I think that's
one. Was that LaVey or is that?
No, that's older than LaVey. I don't know if that's Hilton or.
It's actually much older than that. I can find it in just a second guys.
It sounded like LaVey in a sense.
It does. I mean, that's right up his alley, exactly. So that kind of thing, that kind of society, that, like, very hierarchical, stratified society.
Kind of monarchical.
That is very attractive.
Rolling, yeah.
Yeah, and
ahead,
that, I think that might be able to work. I'm not sure if that's the way the world is going, but if it is, then I definitely want to be one of the people on top. I definitely don't want to be one of the people on the bottom.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And if I was relegated to some position, like if the worst happened and Christianity continued to have a stranglehold over all of society or the world or something, I would be against that authority because I didn't believe in it.
So I have, like, another kind of question that's kind of, I don't know, it's... Maybe it's rather diminutive compared to the absolute subject of Cthulhu, like, you know, what your show is about. But like, as far as the Illuminati goes, and as far as that kind of stuff, like the reptilian race taking over the world. What do you think about that? Like, in a quick synopsis, but just whatever the fuck you want to say. I mean, this is your show, but I just would really kind of. This is your really honest interpretation of what you think, you know, that whole thing is. Because
sure.
I haven't heard much about that, man. People, they don't want to talk too much about it, so. Yeah.
Right. I think a lot of people don't know about it. I think a lot of people are just kind of scared to even admit that maybe that's true. I would lump stuff like that in with this, like the Necronomicon, like Simon Necronomicon. A lot of people believe in it. A lot of people give it power. I think to some degree it might be relevant and it might be valid, but I don't personally put a lot of my belief into it, and I don't, you know, I
can
easily believe in conspiracies and whatnot, but I don't really
have
a strong opinion on that or believe that that's actually going on or that that's even possible. Well, it's probably possible, but that really doesn't enter into my version of not only the mythos, but my whole belief system or my reality.
Do
you have an opinion on that?
Yeah, well, you know, there's these dudes that do a lot of videos on YouTube about that stuff, and, you know, I take chunks out of it and go, okay, I put my own kind of twist to what they're saying and stuff and what they're presenting. And, you know, I have a pretty vivid imagination. I can really convince myself into things, right? But I usually don't, you know. I'm usually like, yeah, no, most likely this isn't true, you know. I do like to sit there, however, and kind of think, well, what could happen? Let's just say it could. Then I think, all right, Bush being disguised as an alien, I don't know about that, but maybe, like, you know, there's these UFOs, or I kind of believe in UFOs, so I just kind of link these pieces together and think, well, you know, there's a chance. That's basically it. That's all I think about it. I'm not really saying, you know, oh, yeah, reptilians are going to take over. It's very too, like, novel. It'd make a great book. Someone should write a book about this, I think, but...
Well, it sounds like the V TV show that we were talking about last week too, that just premiered last Tuesday. It's not the Sci-Fi Channel because I think I mentioned that last week and I was wrong about that. It's
Oh yeah, I always watch it. That's like one of my favorite. I was watching that all last night. When I stay up late, I'm just watching the Sci-Fi. That's
okay. Yeah.
The only show that caters to my late night, you know, you
is
know,
this,
kind of idolatry, I guess. I don't know.
Is this Pan's Hoof that's here on the air with us?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
I know you didn't ask for my 2 cents on this whole deal, but Avengers did.
Please, I like hearing both you guys talk. You know, I listen to you guys every week, so it's, you know.
Well, we appreciate that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, much welcome.
My opinion is that if there was at one point in time a secret Illuminati that was, setting up humanity to, work in this system of suffering and everything, that they've long since been asleep themselves.
That's interesting.
I think we're spinning out of control, and this has just kind of become more systematic than anything. It's the guy behind the wheel died a while back, but the car's still going because it's got an unlimited gasoline supply.
That's cool.
Yeah. Also, there's the whole theory that the aliens are us, basically. That we are.
Yeah. I told people that actually.
Okay.
They kind of laughed.
I don't know if you've ever seen it, or I usually talk about this. Old British TV program miniseries whenever stuff like that comes out, but it's called Quatermass in the Pit. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it's really old, black and white. It's probably like...
I'm sorry, the volume's really low. I just have to... One sec, just bear with me.
Sure.
Okay.
Quatermass in the Pit is this really old British science fiction horror miniseries that came out, I think, in the early 60s.
Okay.
And that really goes a long way toward talking about that whole thing where an alien influence from, you know, millennia ago came down and, you know, affected human evolution, whether through, you know, genetic tampering or or more spiritual kind of...
I'll have to look into that. That sounds right up my alley, I think.
It's so awesome, and it has such a great atmosphere, and it's very cool. It's about 3 hours because it's a miniseries, but it's so definitely worth checking out because if you've ever wondered, like, you know, are we the aliens? Are we the ancestors of some alien force that came down and influenced human evolution eons ago. Yeah, Quatermass and the Pit. That's the thing to check out because that is right.
Yeah, I've long wondered kind of about what other people think, you know, about all this because there's not many people that you can kind of get together like in a congregational kind of setting and talk to about that
right.
kind of stuff. I mean, if you bring it up in a classroom and like, you know, like I don't because in psychology it's like, you know, that's a no-brainer. You don't just talk about aliens in psychology. But like in some classes, like, you know, I don't, theology or philosophy of some sort, maybe there can be a little flip, but really it's not like something that like it's verified in any way, you know?
Right.
No one can verify, like, okay, yeah, this is really going on, and we have this groundbreaking news. I mean, it would be a wet dream to a lot of people, but,
yeah.
But you know,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, some books would be good. I'll
a lot of people would
check that out.
You,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of people think that, you know, the stuff that we talk about or we think is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Want to be mercilessly mocked for the rest of the semester. I can see where you keep that stuff to yourself.
But then again, you know, what makes what they think not ridiculous too? You know, it's like,
exactly.
Oh, but they're being guarded by, you know, the status
right.
quo and it's all bullshit. You know, I'm pretty much like a separatist with a lot of people. Like, I'm social, but I'm like a social separatist. It's
right.
weird, you know. Like, I'm conservative, but I'm libertarian, too, so.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I'm with you there. I'm pretty bad myself.
I think that's how it is, yeah, for, you know.
Gentlemen,
like that, so.
We have about 3 minutes left in the show.
All right. Well.
Thank you very much for calling in.
You got it.
Before I let you go, though, I'm going to tell you where that quote came from, better to reign in hell than serve in heaven. The
exactly.
English poet historian named John Milton in 1608, he lived 1608 to 1674, he's the one that originated with.
Sweet, I was right. Yeah, I thought it was Milton, and I was right. Yeah.
Sounds very, he's a very eloquent writer there. Mm-hmm.
So thank you again for calling in, man. Next week, feel free.
Yeah, definitely.
I'll definitely join you.
Yeah. Call back anytime.
Next week, we're going to actually do astral projection. Is that correct, Venger?
Yeah.
Astral projection. I've heard a lot of things about that.
Yeah, everything to do with, like, astral travel and astral space and, you know, we're probably going to tie that in with, you know, Lovecraft and ritual magic. And
I've always wondered what that has to do with auras.
Else.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know, auras. I've just wondered what that had to do, astral projection with auras. That's because
that has quite a bit to do with that, and we'll actually get into that next week. I promise that.
Sounds cool. Sounds definitely cool.
Okay. All right, we got to say our thank yous and get off of here, man.
Right.
They don't let us run too much over.
Yeah,
so.
Sorry. Keeping you guys on.
No problem. Hey, we appreciate you calling.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for taking the call. I'll talk to you guys next week, hopefully. So.
Okay.
Awesome.
All right. See ya.
Bye.
Okay, Venger. Thank you so much, man, for you know, being the inspiration of all of this.
Thanks to you, because, you know, well, it's basically just thanks to us, because, you know, we're making it happen for ourselves and for each other, and, you know, sometimes you got to be your own best friend, but it's great when you have a partner in crime, because
absolutely.
It motivates you, it inspires you, and it, you know, gets you off your ass. That's what we kind of want to provide for our listeners. You know, not in like a, hey, get off your ass, dickwad, you know,
big,
in a way, but,
big,
you know,
shout to Jason Sorrell.
Yeah, yeah. Just to motivate people to get out there and do things for themselves, you know, again, just do one small little thing each day. And, by the end of like a year, think of all the things you'll accomplish. So,
awesome.
Yeah, I can't think of anything else to thank, so. But thanks for everyone who listened and everyone who will listen to this.
We'll see you guys next week.
Thank you for listening to The Ooze. Opinions expressed by our guests or callers do not necessarily reflect those held by Venture or Beast or any institution associated with us. The Ooze does not condone any illegal or unethical acts. If you have been offended during the production of the show, we're sorry, but as the old expression goes, tough luck. Thank you, and see you next week.